we've dropped 2 million gallons of water alone and 500,000 gallons of retardant. So it's been an air show out there at that fire. And we've had, I think, 23 or 24 different aircraft assigned to that one.
Hey everybody, Jason Wheeler here with you for another episode of Yolitics this week. We are Whiteley-less this week. Jason Whiteley off the podcast today, taking a little bit of R&R. We got a good one for you though. We're talking about wildfires here in Texas and what is being done specifically to try to prevent them and definitely to fight them. We have seen some really difficult conditions all across the state lately. So many areas just bone dry, haven't had a lot of rain. Those temperatures have been way up there. We saw the explosive fire, the Ross Fire, west of Fort Worth in Jack and Palo Pinto counties. We just got word that fire started because of something that happened on the roadside. They don't know if it was a piece of equipment or if it was a car, but all it took was that spark and that fire was off and running and has already blackened more than 90,000 acres. We also found out this week from the Texas Forest Service, the Texas A&M Forest Service, which leads the state's fight against wildfires, that they have already dropped more water and more fire retardant on that one fire than they had dropped on all of the other wildfires they've responded to, going all the way back to the first of the year. So that one's an absolute monster, and it's still being fought right now. Meantime, we were again talking about what the state is doing to try to beef up its response and try to mitigate the wildfire risk here. And if you've been listening to the podcast for some time, you'll know that in the last legislative session, we did an episode about how the Texas A&M Forest Service got a lot of money from the state, more than $600 million to put toward creating their own fleet here in Texas of aerial firefighting equipment. So their own planes, their own helicopters, instead of always relying on the federal government to have those assets available when fires break out here. So we're checking in today to figure out what kind of shopping spree have they been on? What have they been able to buy? What has actually made it to fruition to where they've actually been able to start putting some equipment into use? So we are checking in once again today with Fire Chief Jared Carnes from the Texas A&M Forest Service for that update. Director Carnes, thanks so much for being here with us. You know, we talk all the time about how lawmakers spend money in Austin, but can you tell us how important this $630 million is that they allocated in the last session to combat wildfires in this state?
Well, it's been incredibly important for us. This year has been, it's been a busy year. February is going down as the busiest February on record for the number of wildfires in the last 20 years that we've responded to. May is going down as the most acres we've ever burned in a May, in the month of May for the past 20 years. And August is going down as the busiest month or busiest August for a number of acres that we've burned as well. So this year has been incredibly busy for us. And so definitely love the support that we received last session. With the investment from the legislature.
So the last time we talked, you all had just gotten there at the Texas A&M Forest Service. You had just gotten those hundreds of millions of dollars to start, really getting into this firefight even deeper here in Texas and preventing wildfires as well. Since then, you all have been busy getting out there, spending that money. Let's talk first about aircraft. Dedicated aircraft that would be owned by Texas. What have you bought so far? When will it be here? And what are you still shopping for?
Sure. Very exciting. So, aircraft is certainly an important tool that we use for wildfire suppression. And we've, historically relied on federally contracted aircraft, which means that we can't really control our own destiny. And so legislature saw that and invested in us. And so we went through the request for proposal process, where we bid it out and we get proposals from different vendors. And so went through that process last fall. And so at this point, We have issued purchase orders for three multi-mission aircraft, which is going to be a King Air 360. That aircraft will have sensor packages on it, and so that will be able to provide real-time intelligence to our incident commander and firefighters on the ground, as well as our emergency operations center. They'll also be utilized for coordinating the aerial firefighting that you see over these fires. So they're kind of like an air traffic controller, if you will. And then the other thing that we've purchased at this point is two medium lift helicopters, which are Bell 412 helicopters. They'll be capable of carrying about 300 gallons of water, and then also doing hoist rescue, so search and rescue, and some other reconnaissance type stuff. The one that we have not gotten to the point where we've issued a purchase order yet, we're still in the process, is our large air tankers, which you see those all the time on, you know, on the news. Those are the big planes that you see dropping the red fire retardant. And so still in the process with that, but hopeful within the next couple of months to get purchase orders issued for those as well.
And my understanding was you all could possibly, depending on the price tag on those, get maybe up to four of those, which would be a tremendous help. You mentioned that the aircraft that the state uses now, you're contracted with the federal government for those. You pay them, basically. You're able to use their aircraft. Why not just keep doing it that way? I was speaking with somebody there in your office recently, and they pointed out that in not too long ago, in this summer, you know, when we saw those big wildfires out west, some of the requests here in Texas for those aircraft went unfilled because there's only so many to go around. I guess that's the thinking, is that, you know, Texas needs its own in those kinds of cases.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that's really why the legislature and, you know, state leadership saw the need for us to have our own fleet, was because it is highly competitive. And quite frankly, you know, we have wildfires throughout the year where the Western U.S. may not, you know, they generally see snowfall, you know, in the winter months. And so a lot of those aircraft will actually go down for heavy maintenance in the winter, because most of their, you know, firefighting efforts are happening in the summer. And so we don't always have access to those resources. And like you mentioned, you know, right now, the Western U.S. has been so active with wildfires that we compete on a daily basis for these aircraft. And so we can't really control our own destiny. I mean, those can get pulled from us for a higher priority fire in another part of the country, right? And so having our own baseline fleet that we can rely on is extremely important.
And most of these we would see coming online probably very late 2027, sometime in 2028.
That's correct.
Texas owned.
Yep, it's actually pretty impressive how quickly they can build an aircraft. So December of 27. Now, obviously, you know, there are certain supply and demand things that can maybe push that date back. But looking at December of 27, potentially receiving two helicopters and one multi-mission aircraft. And the multi-mission aircraft and the helicopters, those are completely brand new aircraft. They're building them in the facilities and then delivering them to us. The large air tankers are actually existing aircraft that are being refurbished and retrofitted for firefighting. And so those, you know, once we get a purchase order complete for those, we could see those potentially sooner. It just depends on, you know, all the different things that go into it.
It's a good little nugget. I didn't know that. So far this year, I just got the numbers not that long ago. And at the time I got the numbers, you all had dropped more than 1.6 million gallons of water and fire retardant on wildfires here in Texas. And that was before the outbreak of the Ross fire. So that enormous fire that's been burning west of Fort Worth and Palo Pinto and Jack counties, these numbers don't even take that into consideration. That's a 90,000 acre and growing wildfire there. But 1.6 million gallons of water and fire retardant even before that fire. How crucial is it, especially when you get in that rugged terrain like we see in that big fire and in so many areas of Texas, how crucial is it to be able to get in there from the air to do this?
Oh, it's, I mean, like I said, it's extremely important. Aviation is a game changer in a lot of ways. Now, obviously it's about the firefighters on the ground, the brutes on the ground that are actually, putting line around the fire and putting the fire out, but aviation slows it down. They do point protection. And so they're extremely beneficial. They can see things from the sky that obviously we can't from the ground. And so, so very important, but the Ross fire alone, and this is a couple of days old, but we've dropped 2 million gallons of water alone and 500,000 gallons of retardant. So it's been an air show out there at that fire. And we've had, I think, 23 or 24 different aircraft assigned to that one.
That is stunning when you say that. I did not know about the stats from the Ross fire there. So what you've dropped on that one fire alone is more than you had dropped in the entire year leading up to that fire.
That's right. And, one thing that I think that, we had that was a benefit to us was Possum Kingdom Lake is right there. Mm-hmm. And so we had 4 Super Scoopers and a bunch of different helicopters assigned to that. And so when you can, just go, half a mile over and get your water and then come back to the fire, it makes for long days for those aircraft, and they do a lot of good.
Yeah, that's extraordinary convenience to have that huge lake right there. I'm glad that you talked about the boots on the ground just a moment ago, because I wanted to get into that right now. There was another component of that state funding that was approved in the last legislative session. They allocated hundreds of millions more dollars for volunteer fire departments all across this state, which are, as people in so many communities in this state will know, that's the first line of defense with these fires. Has that money been able to be spent yet and actually gotten equipment in that has made a difference yet, or are we waiting on stuff to arrive?
No, that's right. I think when we talked in November, we had talked about the $192 million that we received. And I think at that point we had awarded the grants for the fire trucks at that point. Mm-hmm. Since then we have awarded the rest of the list. And so, I think in total, it's just shy of 3,000 grants across the state for a little over $230 million. And that's basically the 192 one-time funding that we received plus what we had in our base. And so, so far, we've awarded or reimbursed $50 million, which has been 136 different fire trucks. So it is definitely starting to make a difference, with the amount of money and the historic funding that we received. We definitely believe it's going to be, a multi-year process to get all of those grants awarded and reimbursed. But the team's doing great work and getting a lot of money back out there to the local fire departments.
I don't know what turnaround time is like on a fire truck. Is that stuff that has likely already started arriving at some of these volunteer fire departments and started to actually make a difference out in the world?
It is. And I think it varies on the type of truck that you're wanting to buy. It varies on, the vendors that you go to. And we just flooded the market, right, with 600 truck requests for all these vendors. And so they're doing their best to turn them around. But yeah, we over 100 trucks already that are out there that are new trucks that are reliable trucks that the departments, can operate out of.
So that's already saving lives and saving money across this state.
Yes, sir. Yep. Doing good.
Because property is a threat in a lot of places. Let's talk a little bit about that. People who aren't familiar might hear some of these figures and think, that sounds like a lot of money. There seem to be bigger fires out west. We always hear of them out west. Texas, though, for people who don't know, is regularly among the top states in the number of wildfires and the number of acres burned. Can you talk about how big of a threat wildfire is here, and not just in those far-flung places around the state, even in some of our most populous counties and cities? It's a danger in places.
It is. And I mentioned as we were starting that we've hit a lot of records this year already. And the thing about Texas is that we are a private property state. And when you look at other states out west, there's a lot of federally owned land and things like that. And so we have a large population. We have a lot of interface on most of our fires. There's usually not a fire that we go to where there's not a house or some sort of structure threatened. And so it's incredibly important that we're aggressive and that we get to those fires quickly and we hit it hard with a lot of resources so that we don't, you know, we can protect and save as much as we can. And I mean, Ross is a great example of that. I think that we had, you know, a couple hundred, I think 453 structures that were saved by locals and, you know, state firefighters. And so like that alone just shows you that, you know, there are a lot of values at risk for all these fires that we go to. And so making sure that we're continuing to invest in that is important.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Let me close with this. So you're out there actively spending $630 million that was allocated by the last legislature. As you know, lawmakers are getting ready to go back in session once again this coming January. We know that the problem of wildfires is only getting more acute, not just here in Texas, but in many parts of the country. With all of that said, do you think you all are going to be going back to lawmakers again with a wish list saying, hey, it was wonderful what you were able to do the last time, but we still need help with this, this, and this?
Yeah. So like I said last time that we talked, extremely grateful and thankful for their support. And we want to deliver on all fronts, you know, on with the funding that they've provided us. With that being said, we do still want to try to reduce our response time in parts of the state, especially in the central and western parts of the state. Our offices are a little bit more spaced out. And so we really want to get more boots on the ground to reduce that response time. We've also looked at, you know, how can we maybe inject some money with mitigation strategies, you know, long before the fire even starts. What can we do to protect these communities, you know, beforehand? And so we'll look at, you know, maybe some opportunities for that as well. So definitely taking, you know, an ask next session. To continue, you know, investing in our agency.
So what specifically would you ask them for? Or do you have that formulated yet?
We're asking for 85 firefighting positions that will be, you know, primarily in the central and western part of the state. We would like to open 6 new offices and then kind of reinforce some of our established offices. And then definitely a pot of money. I'm not sure how much at this point, if we've verified that or confirmed that yet or not, but, you know, some money for mitigation actions that can be done, you know, in cooperation with local government. So that, and then obviously the cost of operating equipment, fire trucks and dozers, that continues to go up. And so it's just, you know, it's trying to maintain and improve on what we already have.
Yeah, you're always trying to stay on top of it. I lied. I have one more question.
Okay.
I know that for a long time it was considered an issue that sometimes these different departments, because sometimes you have so many departments arriving to try to, you know, put out a fire, and they've got to be able to communicate with each other. But in so many instances, they weren't able to connect with each other on radios. Do you know if that situation's gotten better?
Yeah, generally when we're talking about smaller incidents, when we're talking about wildfires, it's not as much of an issue. Once we get into fires like the Ross fire, where it's just a massive fire, I mean, it's like 190 miles of fire line or something like that. It's huge. You start running into a lot of those interoperability and communications issues. And so Texas Division of Emergency Management and our agency, you know, we work very closely together on that. We work with local fire departments on that. And so I think that is going to be something that, you know, we're hoping it gets addressed next session and looking forward to that too.
Well, we are certainly hoping for the best for all of you out there. I know it is tough work, especially in this heat. And, you know, we're not out of that threat right now. I mean, I haven't checked what the exact situation is, but I know that, I mean, as we saw with the Ross fire, the ingredients are just all there, not only there, but in so many parts of the state, it seems like.
That's right. Yep. It's, you know, I mean, it's the time of year where it's August, September. We've, you know, end of the summer and it's been hot, it's been dry. And so we typically see an increase in the number of fires that we go to in August and September. And so we expect that to continue for the next few weeks. Now, East Texas did just get a little bit of moisture off, you know, that tropical system that came through, but there's still a lot of the state that did not receive any rain that we're going to continue staff and resources. I mean, we're going to a fire right now outside of Fredericksburg. So it's busy.
So a reminder to everybody out there, no sparks, don't throw a cigarette out the window, don't drive or park in the dry grass, watch those chains that might be hanging from, you know, a tow hitch. All it takes is one tiny spark and these things can really go off. Director Carnes, I think I got like 10 more questions in there after I said last question. So thank you for the time today. You know, you're laying out how busy you are and I'm just bending your ear here with all these questions. Really appreciate the info though, and we really appreciate what you all do here in Texas to keep us all safe.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.